She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York. Follow her voice, a straight dog is nice. She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, oh yeah. Don't be surprised if you wanna listen twice. Make decisions, find the right choice. Know yourself better, find your own voice. It's okay if you need help today, cause everybody needs a little push. From the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York.
Welcome, Transformation Talk Radio listeners. My name is Ellen Stewart, and I am the pushy broad from the Bronx. Welcome to my show, Recovery Recharged, with my illustrious co-host, Dr. Pat. How you doing, Doc?
I am so excited about this show. You ever know when you need to have a conversation about something, right? And then, you know, I always prep for the show. So I was looking at this, and I was thinking, wow. Boy, are we gonna really hit the nail on the proverbial Bronx pizza head.
Absolutely. I mean, unbelievable. I really felt the need to do it too, you know, especially it's the summer, it's summer romances, it's all this relationship stuff back and forth. And I don't know about you, but all of my recovery clients are in relationships and they're either going well or they're not going so well. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. But so, that's not me. But the part of it is understanding, and what are you calling it for today? Because, you know, today's show is about relational recovery. And we have a very special guest. Let us tell you about our guest, if we could, because when we talk about something, we need to bring in an expert. So we bring in thought leaders, we bring in people that are in the expert classification. And that's who we have today, Ellen, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we talk and we're experts in our field, but we want to bring in a particular expert on a particular topic. So today's episode is about relational recovery and why it's so important. And Mike is going to talk about it. He is a couples counselor by the name of Rick Long. And let me tell you a little bit about Rick. Okay. Rick Long began a career in human services in 1975. He was working with troubled youth and families in the juvenile justice system. This led to a master's degree in social work and then training in addictions and family. So he really understands relational recovery. And then a little later in life, in 2012, he decided that wasn't enough. Okay. So he would continue and get a master's in divinity. And then since then, he's been a consultant and a clinical director at a very prominent site in Tennessee called On-Site Workshops, which is nationally recognized. I know it extremely well. And he also has a private practice at home in Pendleton, Indiana. But what makes him not only an expert in things, but about families and relationships, he's happily married to his wife, Linda. He's got three children. He's got a rescue 8-year-old, 90-pound Labrador retriever, which he calls Bear, by the way. And the most important thing that I want to know all about later on after the show is that he's the owner of a pre-loved, he calls it pre-loved, vinyl record store in his hometown. So we want to see what he's got to offer when it comes
to
this.
Yeah. And here's what we're going to do, because we're going to get fired up and we're going to roll right through to the half. We're going to take a short break right now. When we come back, I want everybody to think about this. Relational recovery. What is it? Do you know why it's important? And do you understand that when we're talking about couples, it's like Linda has taught me, timing is everything. Is that really true? Ellen. Let's take a short break. Benny, Jacob, everybody, promise we'll be right back.
From the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'd love to tell you about the latest technology of the Volara Company. I've been using the Volara Company equipment, the air machines, since 1992, and I have found them to be totally successful in killing mold, mildew, and keeping your house fresh and clean. If you'd like more information on it, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
There isn't a magic pill to creating your healthy lifestyle, yet it doesn't have to be hard or feel impossible. Health works from the inside out, connecting both your body and your mind. Georgette LePage lives and breathes what she teaches, so allow her to be living proof of what can work for you. Connect with her now for a free 30-minute discovery session to see what results you are looking for and how she can help you get them. Visit GeorgetteLePage.com.
Are you struggling with truly being happy in life? Do you often question who you really are? I'm Tracy Lynn Wallace, a self-love mentor and life coach who can help you identify and access subconscious blocks to move you into a place of freedom, success, and happiness. Visit inspiredwisdomcoaching.com to sign up for my VIP list and get updates on my exclusive workshops so you can awaken your magic within. That's inspiredwisdomcoaching.com.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
From the pushy broad from the Bronx, New
And that's me, Ellen Stewart, the pushy broad from the Bronx. And this cracks Dr. Pat up. I love it. It's the first time I'm airing my theme song on Transformation Talk Network. It's usually on my podcast station. I love it. Thank you so much for doing it for me. I'm so glad to be here today with my good friend, Dr. Pat, and my very longtime old friend, Rick Long, who is a couples counselor and is going to talk to us about a topic that is extremely pertinent today, relational recovery. So first, Rick, welcome to my show, Recovery Recharged. How you doing?
Hi, Ellen. I'm doing well. Thank you. How about you?
We're doing great. Thank you. Let's get right into it. Please tell us, what is relational recovery?
Well, I think the term is really something that just came together for me. I'm not sure that I've heard it before, but it's primarily just the idea that when we're in recovery from some kind of addiction or trauma, that relationships are key to that, and that we've oftentimes neglected the idea that our relationships are truly key to quality recovery. And so my focus has been since early 90s, actually, to work with couples and families about their relationships post-recovery from an addiction or during the course of their sobriety.
It's really an important thing, and it comes up with couples all the time, because people think just getting clean and sober is enough, right, Dr. Pat? That's it. They figured, all right, I'm not drinking, I'm good, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of the greatest points of controversy when you're working with somebody new in sobriety and you say to them, I don't know what you say, but I say to them, okay, like, I'd love to work with you. And here are a few things I'm going to ask of you. They're not many, but one of them is, do not enter a relationship at least for a year. And they're like, I'm finding a different sponsor. Okay. But there's a reason for that. And I think you guys are going to get underneath it. There's a reason for that. Look, in the famous Sandra Bullock 28 days, you had to be able to not kill a plant. Right? Take it away. Yeah.
Right, Rick, let alone have a relationship, right? So talk to us a little bit about why this is so important and why timing is so important to the whole thing.
Yeah. So for those who are not in a relationship, in terms of a coupleship or other type of intimate relationship, I agree 100% with the wisdom is still don't get into a relationship for a year. Try a plant, then a dog first, not a cat, because a cat is much more complicated. Then a cat, and then a human, which, as Dr. Pat mentions, a lot of people don't take that in very well. For those who are in a relationship, it's almost imperative that you pick up the ball of the relationship fairly quickly after you've gotten some clean time and early into a recovery program. I think that has been neglected many times for people to think that alcohol or drug recovery is enough and that a relationship will automatically be better because the problem was the drinking or the drug and it's gone. So why can't we just do this? And that's not been my experience.
So what kind of things do come up? I mean, sometimes people feel like they're doing two things at once. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. Well, it is two things at once, I think. It really is a combination. And in the past, at least I'm in recovery, have been almost 40 years now. So I remember back in the 80s when I got sober that they really talked about, you know, you have to prioritize your sobriety first, and that comes before anything else. And if you don't do that, then you're going to be, you're not going to be sober for a long period of time. Well, that got translated into a kind of a selfish thing. Like if it's time for me to go to a meeting and the family's having a get together and, you know, I got to go to a meeting, well, the meeting comes first. And ultimately it was the either or piece that really bothered me. You really can do both. And the timing is really, in my opinion, once you're out of detox, you've already started to change. There's no sense in not trying to change things in the course of your recovery, either while you're in an inpatient recovery treatment center or an outpatient recovery center. I worked in both settings with families in the process of the early stages of treatment and found a fairly good amount of success if people are willing to do some things.
What do you think, Dr. Pat? I know you work with a lot of clients as well. Do you find that there's a conflict there and that people don't know how to do two things at once, maintain sobriety and have a relationship at the same time?
I think they don't understand the importance of either, and they don't understand the benefit of what we're talking about. And they certainly don't understand the complex and difficult nature of recovery by itself. And then expect whomever they are in a relationship to just get it, right? So, look.
You're absolutely right.
This is not even peeling the onion back, people. This is having, you know, a couple of rotten onions laying in the barrel that you didn't know about. And look, what we're talking about is getting people help on this. Now, I will tell you this. I know what it's like to do both. And I honestly think that if it wasn't for the people that I worked with in my first year or two, I wouldn't even be having this conversation with you both. And for them to point out to me, you are having that difficulty because you can't possibly do that fourth step. Honestly. So this is complex, but how do we tell people the recovery journey is enough? It is multifaceted. It is multidimensional. And I honestly wish that in the halls of AA, and I'm just going to say it, so send me your email now, that they would have talked about Lois.
Yes. Yes.
More. Because when you read about what Lois went through, hello. Just saying, Richard.
I hear you.
Okay. All right. So we're all on the same page here. But, and I want to focus on the person in recovery for a moment, because that's really, really important. The addict experience in relational recovery. So let's talk about some of the things that are kicking up for us, right? When we were new in recovery, way back when, like 150 years ago, thank God. But nevertheless, because between us here, we have over 100 years in recovery, the three of us. Okay. I mean, really, we have like 100 years in recovery. But how does a person who is new to recovery usually feel about what they've done in their relationship? I mean, what's going on here? Because I know when somebody comes out of treatment, and I do a lot of work with that, Rick, they're a mess. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the mind of a newly recovered person.
Well, I think it's a really good, awareness to try to touch base with that part, because that's oftentimes the block. I think shame, of course, is huge at that point. The shame of getting looking honestly at the destruction and the betrayal and all of the things that have gone on in that during that active addiction. There's defensiveness, of course. There's that sense of I didn't do it on purpose kind of a place, and there's certainly a part of that, and then there's just no relationship skills available to that, or very few that have been effective, let's put it that way. And so with no skill, a covered up sense of ownership of behavior, and then a whole bunch of shame about it, just leads the addict very much into a feeling like, I don't know what the heck to do. Maybe if I just don't avoid my family and it'll be okay. So avoidance becomes the strategy.
Yeah. Avoidance, isolation, right, yeah. Dr. Pat? Don't you find that with some of your clients?
Not only do I find it, but here's really the trick. Thing one is to explain to your family and people that are close to you what you are doing in recovery. Why am I saying that? I don't know about you guys, but the hardest thing for me was to tell family members that I would regularly drink with every 5 o'clock cocktail. No, thank you. Right? I mean, I'm just talking about one thing here. The family. No, thank you. Oh, just one. No, thank you. I'm really okay. Oh, okay. But how about a little one? No, thank you. Right? No, thank you. Now, what's the difference? Alcohol is common. If you are a crack, cocaine, whatever you want to call it, you know, marijuana, your family doesn't know you're doing that pretty much anyway. So they're not going to say, okay, you want an eight ball? They're not going to do that. Right? So alcohol presents itself with social dilemmas, don't you think, both of you?
Rick, don't you find that as one of the biggest couples problems?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, you know, I find with my clients too, and here's the thing, and I know there's a big debate about it, but the pushy broad has her stance, okay? I'm really firm on this, okay? Firm. If my client is new in recovery and he comes home or she comes home to a house full of liquor, I'm like, get it all out of the house, okay? I don't care if your spouse or your partner can socially drink. I don't care. Socially drink outside of the house with no wine or beer, which people don't think is alcohol these days, right? Unless it's vodka or scotch, they think, it's only wine and beer. It's not a big deal, right? I know Dr. Pat's cracking up. I can see it, right? It's like, not a big deal. You make sure that the family of the people you're coming home to are completely alcohol free. And one other thing, there's one other thing that I'm adamant about. Every single time there's a party, you know, in the summer, everybody parties, right? And your friends who care about you and love you turn around and say to you, we know you're new in recovery, so if you like, we'll make it an alcohol free party. And the recovering addict turns around. You know what the recovering addict says? Oh, no. It's okay. I don't want to disrupt your life.
Right.
And my advice to every single client is you better darn well disrupt their life. If they're going to make it an alcohol-free party for you, you say, thank you very much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what we're talking about is the addict experience in relation to recovery. And it really ties back in, you know, Rick, I want to just hit you up with this. Because first of all the ranges of emotion that one goes through, there's not enough time in this show to really get to it. But I think the message for everybody listening, yes, you're going to see people that you know that are taking the recovery journey. They are going to do some things which don't make sense to you. They're going to have emotions you have never seen before. And you're going to say, honey, you're stressed. Just take a drink. No, don't do that. You're going to see anger show up, right? You're going to see words that can't come out because they can't take their emotions and express it to you. And that's why the three of us know that there are very, very few recovery places that include the family and the partners in. What is this coming of age journey for you people about?
That's exactly right. You hit the nail on the head. And that's why that's the kind of work that I do and the kind of work that Rick does. And this is why the addict sometimes feels that they're two people in one body. Right, Rick?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's very, very black and white at that moment. And it takes a while for that thinking to shift, to be able to see the gray areas between things. So it does feel that way. This is two people in here. Sometimes in our work with couples, we even talk about Ed 1 and Ed 2 and identify the Ed 1 as the addict and the Ed 2 is the guy you married, or Sally 1 and Sally 2. Sally 1's the addict and Sally 2's the one you married. And you want a relationship with Sally 2, you don't want a relationship with Sally 1.
That's so right on. I usually say to my clients, oh, you went in Sally 1, but you came out Sally 2.0 because you've upgraded yourself, all right? You've learned something new. And the other thing that is really important, and I know you do this with your clients all the time, when we're in recovery, there is a language that we learn, right? We speak a certain language. We speak 12-step recovery, or we speak smart recovery, or, you know, we speak a language that is very different for everybody else to hear. So it's like the family has to learn a brand new language, right, Rick?
Exactly. So important to see if family members will buy into their own 12-step recovery. Just for that very reason, to have a language that they can share. Those that do, I have found, really make the most progress in couples therapy.
Because everybody's on the same page, right, Dr. Pat? Did your family members support you in that way? Did they go to Al-Anon or Nail-Anon?
Okay, so let's just, so let me just give you the short version. I was so estranged from my family, period. Because let's just talk about the reality of what happens when one enters down the path of, I am so out of control, right? Now, I will say that there was a period in time that I attempted to really repair my relationship with my sister. And I did that. But honestly, with you two, it wasn't until I made that commitment that I could bring my stepmom in my life, that I could bring my sister in my life. Now, here's what I want to say to everybody, and I don't know how Ellen and Rick are going to explain it. For me, that was in 1990. What I didn't know or couldn't anticipate is that my stepmom would die shortly thereafter, and my sister within the next 3 years. But I will tell you this, I do not go to bed at night saying, I wish I would have repaired the damage with my stepmom. I did. I flew her in to come to New Jersey. She sat at Linda's mom's dining room table with all of us. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I don't know how we talk about that when we come back from break. But you see, we need to say that there is so much more goodness in this than the pain that you need to go through to get there.
Exactly. Repairing the guilt. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about what the family and how the family gets involved and what they go through in the process.
I'll let you two talk about that.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Taking another break.
Let's take a short break. When we come back, we are not going to be taking any more breaks because both Richard and Ellen, this is what they do. this is how they help people. There is an amazing light. And I am sorry, I'm a broken record. I read the 9-step promises the other day on a show. I was told to memorize them in my first week in sobriety with a male sponsor because I actually pretended I was like a guy. That's a hard another story, shaved my head, the whole thing. But he looked at me and he said, I don't even want you to read the book. I need you to memorize these. When we come back, there's not a one size fits all, and you are not all one size. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
From the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to Boss Up Babes, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
There is divinity within you. Join Lisa Belth on her show, The Unshakable Living Show, Supernaturally and Divinely Unshakable, twice a month, and find that divinity that you deserve. Lisa will help you feel encouraged, empowered, and realize that you're not alone on your journey. With Lisa, address the foundation, the frame, and the finish of your dreams and become truly unshakable.
Tune in to the Be Happy Now show with me, Claudia Sam. Flex your soul connection muscle and be your inner guide to fulfillment. Every Thursday on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You are here for a bigger reason and are worthy of accessing it. Experience happiness now. Tune in to your intuition and connect with me. Visit ClaudiaSamCoaching.com.
Heaven on Earth, your online school of divinity, building your inner coach as you lay down your foundation in the new earth with you as the authority. Take action now. The number one challenge people face every day is the negative voice in their head. We work each day to turn negatives into positives. It's all a matter of perception. Our challenge at this time is to remain intensely positive and focused, creating the world we wish to live in. Wake up on purpose with Cornelia's daily online positive messages guiding us in the new paradigm. Raise yourself into happiness and inner peace daily. Elevate your personal frequency, free from negativity, and reprogram yourself step by step, shifting your energy patterns with positive repetition, daily building your new earth with someone you trust. All the heavy lifting has been done for you. Wake up happy with CorneliaStephanieVIP.com. Try free for 7 days now.
From the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York.
Welcome back, Transformation Talk Radio listeners. I'm Ellen Stewart. This is my show, Recovery Recharged, and I'm with my good friend and colleague, Dr. Pat. We're talking to an expert on relational recovery, Rick Long. I want you to know that you can get all kinds of help and information from both of us if you go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and call my 800 number, 800-889-1757. I will connect you with Rick because Rick does a private practice in Indiana. If you're in Indiana, you can take advantage of Rick, and you'll call my number, and I will give you all of his pertinent information. And you can also book some time with me because I'm still doing some free sessions. Okay, so let's get back to this really important topic of relational recovery. And in addition to, I was just telling Dr. Pat and Rick on the break about how I really struggled in early recovery, and I really had a terrible time with so much anger. I really didn't give a damn about anything I did in the past. depressed, and I was really upset about being where I was. And if it wasn't for my family participating and going to meetings and understanding my language and working with really good sponsors, I had a male and a female sponsor, I don't think I ever would have changed. And I think I spent 20 years not really understanding what recovery was until I started working in the industry. And one of the people I met was this wonderful man, Rick, who has helped so many people in his life. So let's move on to the family and how important they are. Let's talk about what happens with the
family. Well, can we tell
people
how to get to Rick and to get to you all's website?
Yes. So Rick actually has contact information for his business. Rick, why don't you give out that number for your business?
Absolutely. So feel free to call 765 area code 810-3020. My office is actually in my home now. But we can start with a phone call. And if you need to send an email, it's RL Long. So it's 2L, RLONG 1953@gmail.com.
Perfect. Very, very good. Let's talk about the dysfunctional family, Rick, and codependence and all of that stuff. What happens on the family side?
Well, it thankfully, we had some pioneer work done in the late 70s by Sharon Wegscheider Cruz and Virginia Satir. Virginia Satir had done some transformational work with families, and then Sharon brought that into the realm of addictions. And she taught us about how families, once there's an addiction, there's a change in the constellation of the family, wherein the primary partner, if it's the husband that's the alcoholic, the wife or partner, becomes co-opted into a very toxic system and cannot actually show up for the other family members, including, quite honestly, the children. So then children begin to take on roles that prop the family system up or divert the attention of the anger and hurt and dysfunction of the family onto themselves rather than onto the alcoholic. And so these are roles that got defined by Sharon back in the late 70s, the oldest child, oftentimes known as the family hero, who steps in, really gives up their personal life to take care of everybody else. Kind of another, when we talk about codependency, that's another kind of a definition of it. The second child oftentimes becomes the scapegoat child, the child who does bring all the attention onto themselves and acts out quite a bit. If there's a third child, there's oftentimes a quieter child that's called the lost child. And in all of those purposes of all of those roles is to numb the pain out for the person playing the role and to prop the family system up so that it still looks okay from the outside.
It's really a very in-depth analysis of what goes on. And I... Yes, absolutely. And understanding that the work that we do is centered around this family disease. And Rick, you have really, you know, detailed it for us because every single member of the family is affected. There is no question. So how do we begin to move towards a healthy relationship? Let's talk about that. Rick?
Okay. It's oftentimes the best way is to always include the partner in any part of treatment, including the assessment phase. When I do an assessment, I ask them to bring their partners right from the get-go. The sooner the better, because this is not just an individual disease. It is a relational disease of addiction. And we begin to lay the relationship format down right there. Oftentimes, of course, we get more information from the partner that comes in for the assessment to be accurate. So right from the get-go, if there's a place in the treatment center or process, and there should be, for couples and or families to come together, that's something that absolutely needs to start as soon as possible. Thankfully, some treatment centers still do that I refer to.
Yeah.
but a lot have gone away by the wayside. My first job actually in addictions was at Sierra Tucson as a family therapist.
There are still some wonderful places in the country that I also refer to that spend time, and even pre-COVID, they were on the treatment center facility site, spending a week in treatment with a family counselor and also in tandem with the person in recovery. I find that I have many meetings with family members while I'm working with somebody new in recovery, but it is so far-reaching and it must continue, because even though they have a small amount of family work in the treatment center, it really has to continue with people like you and I.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Dr. Pat?
I'll tell you what I think about it. I was part of a program called the Coming of Age Program at the Center for Spiritual Living. Monica Sicard, indigenous Lakota tribe, really was the backbone of it. We discovered after the first year of taking these young people through 9 months of ritual, building sweat lodges, the whole thing, vision questing on their own. We watched what happened in the disconnect between how these children grew and how their parents didn't. That was the last year ever. And what was built was a parallel path. And it was conditional. If your child is going to do this, you must show up in the adult arena. Now, it's no different than what we're talking about. It's really no different. And here's the dilemma I want to drop back on both of you. I don't know what you think about this, but to put the burden on the person that is in recovery to try to take every personality in their lives, all the people, over and over and over and over again, and explain every aspect of their behavior, what their commitment is, why they can't sit down at dinner because they've got to go to an online meeting. See, isn't that an unrealistic thing to ask them to do, or am I off?
Rick, what do you think?
I don't know that it's unrealistic. I just know that it doesn't, for the family member, there has to be a space for them to be able to share what it's like if they have to continue to do some heavy lifting for the beginning. So if the alcoholic is explaining all of these things, but it sounds like it's shifting the responsibility for other parts of life back over to the spouse is tired, as you well know. And they're like, you know, when do I get a chance? It's always been about them,
right?
You know, and that's a very common a question and frustration, I think, for family members, particularly spouses.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And there's one other thing I want to talk to both of you about. The other thing that I find when people come back from treatment is that family members are all of a sudden walking on eggshells. Okay, especially when a young person comes back, all right? Because a young person has a relationship with their parents don't want to do anything different, they don't want to say anything different, God forbid things will explode, right? So how do you deal, Rick, with family members that feel like they have to tread lightly when the addict comes home from treatment?
Well, I do talk to them, and you're absolutely right. That's a very common experience, especially with parents. About what they're trying to do by walking on eggshells is create soft landings, which is exactly what created some of the problems for the addict before they got sober. Soft landings is not what we need as a recovering addict. That doesn't mean you beat them over the head, obviously. But I oftentimes will say, walking on eggshells is kind of like trying to be a higher power. You're trying to figure out your alcoholic, your addict's needs without really knowing. And so you're trying to be a higher power in many ways here. And that becomes an opportunity to then talk to them about, you know, what is a higher power and what that means to them as a recovering family member if they choose that.
You're absolutely right. And also coinciding with that, and I'm sure, Pat, you see this all the time, coinciding with that are people that are on the other side waiting for these addicts to come home and thinking, okay, now they went to treatment, they're cured. They're fixed. It's all better. Everything's fine. And we can go back to normal. Right, Dr. Pat?
Yeah, I think that what you just did is you nailed where it starts to really come apart. And it really does get back to what Rick was talking about earlier and what he does and what you do, Ellen. You know, there is an intervention for the family that is required. And it's kind of old school. I was told it was old school. But whenever there is someone that comes to you and wants to work with you that has a spouse or a close member, I don't know what you all do, but I have the family meeting, right? And most people that I've talked to recently, they're like, what's the family meeting? And so I think some of this, some of what some of us have learned, I'm afraid it's like many things, it gets lost. Or there's like this strange translation of what should you do, what you shouldn't do as a sponsor. Do you see what I'm saying? But we have got to bring the people in the loop that are in the loop.
That's exactly right. And Rick, and I want you to comment on this. How many people come to you that you work with early recovering addicts and you have a family meeting and the family has no idea how much therapy they need? They all think it's about the person in recovery, right? I sit down with the family and I say, okay, so now we're going to work on you. And they're like, what? We don't need any help. We're fine. It's him, right? Or it's her. Rick, do you get that too? Ah, okay. Well, we lost him for a moment there, but I get that all the time. What how about you?
I'm going to jump in. How could we not get it? So let's try a different question. Let's try the question that we want people to think about. How could we not include people that have been affected by or impacted? How could I now? I want to put a caveat on this, but please let me just tell you what it is. You must do this with the help and the mentorship of your sponsor or Ellen, your coach, because timing is everything. It really is. I mean, I don't know about you, Ellen, but how many people have stepped into recovery and they want to tell the whole world? They're telling everybody. They're like, I didn't tell any of my friends till I could talk about it in a way that they could hear it. But this is also to give people tools on how now they can communicate about their journey and when to communicate. Because here's the thing, your close people, they are not looking to how well you're going to talk about yourself. They know you can talk. And they know that most of what has come out of your mouth for as long as they've known you is probably not something you can trust. They're looking for behavior, right?
You're right. You're absolutely right. And I'll tell you, I see clients that turn around and they get really upset if the whole world knows. Okay. So I am, I am from the school that I think it's really good you're telling the world you're in recovery. I think that holds a certain amount of accountability. Okay, because if I tell the world, like when I told the world I stopped smoking cigarettes, then the whole world was kind of on my case. Like, there's no way she's going to pick up a cigarette because I'm looking at her, you know, I'm looking at her. And I think it's a really good thing. And I also think it's a really good thing that there are many role models today, okay, even through their struggles, like, you know, all the people that have come out openly, all the stars that we all know very well that have come out very openly in recovery. I think that is a wonderful thing. And it's a lot better than keeping a secret. What do you think, Dr. Pat?
I think that I follow the Marty Mann model of how I conduct myself. And Marty Mann was a revolutionary, and she was I'm telling you, she didn't follow the books. She didn't follow what the guys were saying. Marty says, we need to get on TV. We need to talk about this. And Marty pulled away, started her own organization, which is one of the top organizations today, and got on television of What's My Line, where they had to guess which one of the three people are alcoholics. That was Marty Mann.
Oh, my God. Did they do that?
Yeah, she did it.
Oh, my God.
Marty did it. They put her on that TV show where you got the three people and you had to guess which one of the three was the alcoholic or the addict or whatever.
Wow.
And of course, they didn't guess her. But she did more to spread the word than anybody could do because everybody was afraid to talk about it. Now, I will say this, back then, absolutely, there was a lot to be afraid of. Now, we have got to stop the bleeding. There are more undiagnosed, uncounted people suffering now, right now, after COVID, than ever reported.
Exactly, than ever reported. And since people are going to the doctors all the time and they're testing and they're doing all kinds of things, things are coming to light that have never been there before. And not only that, but it's coming in a whole new way because that whole idea of vaping and THC and then all of that stuff is coming to light that has never come there before. And now the work that I do with the adolescents and with young adults more than ever is, it's okay to smoke a little bit, and it's okay to do this, and the states are coming up and with everybody, you know, having a legalized situation, which really does not help the addict at all, right, Dr. Pat? Doesn't help.
Well, I'm one of these people. I'm a little bit on the fence, and I'll tell you where I come from the fact that if you have just one state in the United States that legalizes something and you have the rest that are incarcerating people, where I am is that is just not justice. So I am of the nature, if you're going to legalize it for the sake of these people, please let everybody out of jail, right?
Yes.
Because
yes,
we know jail is not the remedy for a marijuana charge.
No, it's not treatment.
Right.
There's no question. Legalization is one thing, but an addict is an addict. And you're going to overdo it.
Right. And then there's another part, Ellen, and we'll save this for another show, right? Because the bottom line is, for some of this, we are entering a world where we put everybody in the same box. And I have to tell you, I can't tell you how many meetings I've had in the past 3 years with people that wanted people to restart their date because they were using a THC hemp topical product for a serious, serious pain. And I have to tell you, you have to search your soul very deeply as somebody that's got as many years of recovery as the three of us sitting here. And you really have to look at, what should one do? Do you really say to somebody, reset your 20-year date because you went and got some topical something, but you did not sign up for the high-powered pain pill? See, this is now the new dilemma, people.
You're absolutely right. Okay. And I'm going to bring someone on in a couple of weeks and we're going to blow that wide open. Okay. Absolutely.
But that isn't that
open.
True? It's because, Richard, right, for you too. See, these are the nuances that we're not talking about with families, right? And a family says, oh my God, I saw my son's like topical, what is it called? Dragon Ball for his pain. And I got to call the sponsor. And I'm like, oh.
Exactly. Or even the CBT oil and all that stuff.
Oh.
So, Rick, so what's happening in that arena? Well, and because we only have about 4 minutes left, mm-hmm. I want you to talk a little bit more about how families can move towards healing.
Okay. Let me check. Can you hear me okay?
Perfectly.
Oh, good. Thank you. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I think that if families do get involved in these kind of what I call the weeds of recovery, and oftentimes it's just too much for them to be on top of the addict with all kinds of that. So trying to give them a sense of boundaries early on and to really be more active in this early sessions, not just a therapist who reflects back, but I tend to be more hands-on, intervention-oriented. So I'm teaching them fairly quickly about boundaries, about how to stay out of certain places, letting sponsors be sponsors and not being the sponsor's sponsor. And doing work around that is very helpful in the beginning. And the other piece of that, I think, for family members is to realize if they can be heard in their deepest hurt and their deepest fear, I see them relax so much because they're finally being able to share their experience
and feel like they're not the one that's always having to defer to their addict. That's been a lovely part for me to stay involved. I love to see that turning of the corner when the family member takes that deep breath and says, you know what, I get to speak too, but I don't have to be in the weeds to speak.
Quite literally. So now that we're almost done, I want you to leave a really positive message with our listeners. What would you say to couples that are first beginning to rebuild their relationship? Just some key words to leave us with.
Absolutely. Well, it's a very important time, and I can promise couples, and oftentimes we'll say this, and I use my own relationship with my wife as a part of that, is that you have no idea what great connection and what greater intimacy you can experience in recovery with each other. You've really never experienced the kind of trust building and the kind of ability to relax and be with each other until you've gotten this. And so this opportunity that blew the doors off of everything may be the one thing that really will bring you back to a place, or create for you for the very first time a powerful experience of intimacy.
Fantastic, Rick. Thank you so much. What do you think, Dr. Pat? Finish us off here.
I absolutely think that. And I would like to say to everybody that's listening, whether you're in recovery or not, please really think about the question that I learned. I don't know what I don't know. And if you enter the game like that, whether you're in recovery, you are the addict, or you know, we're using this label, you are the addict, but the three of us have very different perspectives about how we use that label. We're using it for the purpose of this show. The bottom line is, you are an amazing human being. You happen to have an addiction. You happen to be in recovery. But if you enter the game of, I don't know what I don't know, and so do the people close to you, then the world of possibilities opens.
You're absolutely right. Patience and tolerance and openness. And that gets us through. Thank you so much, both of you. It's been a great show.
Yeah. Hey, Rick, one more time, give out that phone number, would you? And Ellen, please give out your website. Let everybody know how they get a hold of you.
Go ahead, Rick.
765, area code 810-3020.
Terrific, Rick. PushyBroadFromTheBronx.com. People, go take a look. 800-889-1757. I am here for you.
Great, powerful show. Bye, everybody.
This is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, saying thanks for listening. And remember, everybody needs a little push.
From the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, New York.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.